Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Bill Angrick, the chairman and CEO of Liquidity Services, the world's largest marketplace for business surplus with almost $9 billion in completed transactions, 3.6 million registered buyers, and over 15,000 sellers. Mr. Angrick will be discussing his entrepreneurial journey and what led him to being the CEO of Liquidity Services on today's program. And Mr. Angrick, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Eric, delighted to be with you.
Yes, sir, and equally delighted to have you with us and looking forward to hearing all these details. Quite impressive, the amount of transactions completed in the history of Liquidity Services. So for starters, if you would, tell our listeners a little bit about your background to lay the groundwork and your early passion for entrepreneurship and business.
Well, Eric, I'm from the heart of the heartland. I'm Iowa born and bred, and, you know, in Iowa, one thing I knew early on is, you know, this area loved to work hard, you know, sun up to sundown. That was a part of the character imbued in me, you know, by my parents and my peers. And if you wanted to get something done, you know, you really had to be self-reliant and work hard. I also was blessed to have parents who put an emphasis on being intellectually curious. Both of my parents were teachers and had advanced education. They loved books. Most of those books were bought, you know, secondhand. But I think in our house we had something like 10,000 books. Now, neither of my parents were business types, but they always said, if you're interested in a subject, go out and learn as much about it as you can. I also loved to compete growing up, and, you know, in the Midwest, sports is a big part of our culture, and, you know, we played a different sport every season. So I played three different sports, football, basketball, and baseball. My one sibling also played multiple sports, was a champion wrestler, and what I realized about sports was it was a great way to meet other people from all kinds of backgrounds, ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds, very diverse group, but sports and being on a team brought you together, and sports quickly taught you how to deal with failure, that failure was a part of the learning process. You brush failure off, you learn from it, and it helps you become better at whatever your endeavor is. And, you know, the ability to get better and to compete was always a really important part of my formation and growing up. And then finally, you know, I didn't come from a significant amount of, you know, economic wealth. And so growing up, you quickly realize if you wanted, you know, that extra pair of basketball shoes or you wanted that new bicycle, that you would have to come up with a way to save for that prize and find a way to make some money. And so I was thrifty. I realized that, okay, I'm going to have to, you know, make my own money, and I needed capital to get things done. So I was very thrifty. I recall picking up bottles and cans from the park and taking it in for, you know, the deposit return money. At least in the state of Iowa, you had that. And, you know, I delivered newspapers. I had a lawn care business that I could do between my sports. And what you realized in those small odd jobs, that business was about dealing with people, and I had to sell my services face-to-face, door-to-door, growing up in that era of the mid to late 1970s and early 1980s. And it taught me so much about how to interact with an individual, quickly understand their emotional state, what their important needs were, and how to communicate with people face to face. And so all of those things really, as I reflect on it, help prepare me to become an entrepreneur.
Well, you certainly hit on a lot of great and important factors and points made throughout your journey, that of teamwork, work ethic, always important, and then the various ethnic groups and cultures that you ran across through your sporting experiences. So that is always a plus, and certainly can relate to that, as well as I've enjoyed those experiences as well. Now, when did you start Liquidity Services, and what was the inspiration and driving force behind the idea there?
Well, the year was 1999, and I had just completed about 4 years of work as a growth company banker, helping the first successful businesses find their way to the public markets. And what I would say first is, you know, a business fundamentally is a solution to a problem. You have to identify the problem. You have to fill a need. And what I had noticed was, you know, this web-based ecosystem, you know, this internet platform was giving people access to new ways of thinking and doing things. Early on, it was primarily around consumer problems that we were trying to solve. How do you, you know, order pet food online? How do you, you know, buy a CD online? And I had noticed how much waste there was within the retail supply chain and industrial supply chains. You had store return goods that people would buy from, you know, a big box retailer or a department store chain, and they'd take it back and it'd be pushed in the corner of a warehouse. And there was, you know, literally billions of dollars of used equipment not being used within Fortune 500 companies. You know, this is equipment that has to be upgraded and replaced every year. And so it seemed to me that the dawn of the internet would allow people to find and buy this underutilized equipment and inventory. And so, Eric, I started with the premise of, let's create a marketplace, a two-sided marketplace with sellers and buyers on either side, not on a consumer market, but on a business-to-business market, with the goal of bringing transparency, professionalism, data, and analytics to this underserved surplus goods marketplace. And the marketplace platform was a great way to solve two problems, which was buyers, you know, needed to know where to go to find what ultimately would be, you know, really good prices, good deals on used equipment or surplus inventory. But they had to have a destination to go to, a place to find, search, bid on, and pay for those items. And sellers needed an access to a competitive buyer marketplace, a quick, convenient platform to list and sell goods. So with that basic platform business model, we created Liquidity Services. We began serving retailers for their store return goods. We served industrial companies, which had used equipment in their warehouses or used manufacturing equipment, and then later government agencies who are constantly upgrading their equipment. And a couple other premises behind the Liquidity Services business model was, we embraced the flywheel effect. And the flywheel effect is essentially allowing you to realize exponential growth, not linear growth. And what I mean by that is, when sellers list their goods in a marketplace, you're adding more volume of goods and more breadth, more categories. And that allows you to create a destination for buyers. Buyers are more interested when they can find not just one or two categories, but hundreds of categories of goods. And when we began to attract more buyers, we were getting more data on how those buyers viewed, bid on, and purchased goods. And that allowed us to harvest the data to do a better job matching what was in our marketplace with what we thought buyers would like based on their prior bidding and browsing activity. And that in turn allowed us to drive higher sales realization, sales price realization for our sellers and attract more sellers. And when you're doing that well and that flywheel effect takes hold, you're able to grow in a much more exponential growth curve. And that's what happened to Liquidity Services. We were able to nail the buyer and seller experience using this marketplace platform business model and the flywheel effect and use that data and continue to be better. You know, Eric, if you were to come in, we'd know what you had interest in buying based on people like you and what they had browsed. If you browsed item A, you'd also like B, C, and D. So we began to scale the business into over 500 asset categories. We brought in many more sellers, and we became a truly global marketplace with buyers in over 200 countries using our Liquidity Services marketplace platform to find and buy these assets. And so it was a really exciting period for us. We, as I said, started in 1999. We became profitable in 2002 on $60 million of gross revenues. We continue to expand and develop. Until today, we're a $1 billion gross revenue business with almost 4 million registered business buyers using our marketplace to find and buy surplus inventory and used equipment. And we have over 15,000 sellers ranging from Fortune 500 corporations, government agencies, and e-commerce retailers using our platform. So it's been quite a ride.
Well, I'd certainly say so, and the numbers certainly speak loud and clear, and you're being in business for over 20 years. That also backs up and supports the success there. Now, what types of supplies and goods are actually sold through the marketplace? Give us some ideas there.
We find it fascinating how many individual asset categories can be addressed in our platform. We have a platform called AllSurplus.com, and the name says it all. It's anything that you can imagine, any type of inventory, any type of equipment, any type of manufacturing asset, from cars, trucks, boats, planes, forklifts, any type of manufacturing supply chain equipment to make consumer packaged goods, biopharma equipment. It's equipment to help the energy supply chain extract oil and natural gas and distribute that. Pumps, valves, rigging equipment, scrap metal, tubular pipe. We also sell real estate, both buildings and land. And on the retail supply chain's really gotten a lot of attention, Eric, in the last decade as more retail moves from brick and mortar to online commerce. The volume of return goods has exploded. Whereas when you go to a physical store and buy something, only about 5% of purchases go back as returns. However, when you purchase online, the volume of returns, because you haven't touched the item or maybe haven't put that piece of furniture in your living room, the returns volume is about 6 times higher, as high as 30% of everything bought online is returned. And that return goods flow is what we address in our marketplace. We provide the marketplace to sell those return goods. We help our retailer and manufacturing clients physically remove those goods from their stores, from their e-commerce fulfillment centers, bring them to our facilities, where we then photograph, manifest them, and launch them online, principally through our marketplace named liquidation.com. And so we sell anything you'd see essentially in a Walmart, on an Amazon. We sell anything you'd see, you know, in your local city, you know, trucks, equipment to maintain roads and bridges, fire trucks, police cars, emergency vehicles, all of which have been upgraded and replaced. We sell them as surplus. We'll sell all of the recreational equipment you'd find in a school, all the cafeteria equipment you'd find at a university. It's really quite fascinating that once we create that marketplace, once we create a transparent, trusted place for people to list goods, buyers will come and they'll find these items. And it's really helping we call it a triple bottom line. We're helping sellers recover financial value for these items in a transparent, competitive process. We're helping buyers, many of whom are small businesses in their own right, find and buy valuable equipment at less than new cost, so they're able to use their capital, find something, put it into productive use. And we're helping the planet because we're keeping all of these items out of the landfill system. Before we got started, Eric, you'd be surprised at how much of this equipment and inventory was either shredded or scrapped or sat fallow for years before finding a way to be productive. So we think that we're building a better future for surplus by connecting all this equipment, bringing light and transparency to it, and making it available for these small business buyers and entrepreneurs to put it to good use.
Certainly do appreciate the thorough overview, and certainly got a lot of exciting things going on. There's no question about that today. We're speaking with Bill Engrick. He is the chairman and CEO of Liquidity Services, the world's largest marketplace for business surplus. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, tell us, how is Liquidity Services making the planet a better place in terms of landfill waste? And as I know, that is certainly a big part of your mission there.
We believe and promote the notion of the circular economy, Eric, and that means that any productive asset can be extended in terms of its useful life and can be recycled, and that you don't have to discard these items as waste. You can find ways to continually use them, and the notion is that the items can circulate from one owner to the next, and that allows us to reduce the amount of emissions to make new goods. It allows us to reduce the amount of waste that goes into landfill systems. It allows us to reduce the carbon footprint of what's all the energy required to replace a used item by manufacturing a new item. And so this circular economy, we estimate to be over $100 billion of used equipment and inventory per year that we can help keep in circulation through our marketplace. We know with our work with many of the world's largest corporations and government agencies, you know, this is a priority. You know, the sustainability policies and practices are really about allowing us to move information freely to connect the logical users of this equipment, to keep that equipment in a productive capacity, and to eliminate a lot of the scrapping, a lot of the shredding that's occurred historically, where people didn't realize they had avenues like Liquidity Services. And I think every major corporation realizes that beyond shareholders, those that own an economic interest in a corporation, they have stakeholders. And stakeholders are the citizens that live in the communities. They're the customers that buy the products, and the employees, you know, who earn a living, take care of their families, you know, are drawing a paycheck from these companies. And each of those stakeholders have a shared interest in helping reduce CO2 and to create a better planet for everybody, you know, to reduce the effects of climate change. You know, that helps all of these communities, you know, live healthier, you know, more productive lives. And we're excited to be a part of that.
Well, I tell you what, it's certainly impressive what you've been able to create and all the success you've seen in over two decades in business, and really appreciate your taking a moment to share some of the details with us here today on the program. I'm sure you've inspired and motivated more than a handful of folks tuning in today, no doubt about that. Where can listeners, if they wanted to get more information on Liquidity Services, where can they find more information online? And also, looking ahead, what does the next year look like in terms of company growth? Yeah, hit on those two if you would.
Sure, Eric. Well, you know, we are experiencing record-breaking growth presently because we fill a need, and we're helping retailers and manufacturers and government agencies be smarter. So we're growing at 30% plus top line because we're filling those needs and we're providing a great service to our customers. You can find more information about, and by the way, that's through the retail supply chain. As e-commerce grows, we continue to grow alongside it to provide a safe and effective way to manage and sell those return goods, as well as the used equipment for government agencies and industrial clients. Individuals can find information about everything we have for sale if you're a buyer on allsurplus.com, allsurplus.com. That has over 500 categories of goods. We are also publicly traded on the NASDAQ, so there's a lot of company information. Our ticker symbol is LQDT, and liquiditieservices.com is our corporate website where you can have information about our financial records, our case studies of success with sellers and buyers, and as well as we're hiring. You know, we are hiring people all across the U.S. in different roles, so if you're interested, check us out.
Well, you're certainly transparent, and you've got the bases covered full circle, no doubt. Again, listeners, for more information and to tap into this, visit liquiditieservices.com. Mr. Angrick, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Take care.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Bill Angrick, the chairman and CEO of Liquidity Services, the world's largest marketplace for business surplus. And for all the details, visit liquiditieservices.com or allsurplus.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.